So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control, and if you can take it, all about your debt, and if you can pay it, it's all about pain, and who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me, I am control, no way you can shake me, I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me, I am the pain, and I know you can't take me, look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun, I am the game, and I may lose, so move on out, you can die like a fool, try to figure out what my mood's gonna be, come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay, cause I am the game and I want to play.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show right here at the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And I tell you what, real quick word of warning, and I'm getting sick of making these warnings to you guys, and I apologize, but BTR seems to be having problems once again. So the sound actually seems to be fine. It just looks like everything that they do just seems to be slow to respond. Gave me error messages twice trying to sign in. And remember, guys, I'm using a clean computer. There's nothing here. It's all my studio. So if we have any problems, you'll know why. You've been warned. In the meantime, how are you, Mr. Dale the Truth?
Is this thing on? Testies, 1, 2, testies?
No, you're not on, man. This is a tape-recorded response.
Okay. That's some of the bad dreams I've had before, but hey, what's going on?
Hey, not a whole lot, man. I tell you, well, obviously, there's always something going on. But it's pretty interesting with everything going on right now. Latest rumor is, and I actually believe this one, that they're going to end up scrapping the whole Obamacare website and we're starting all over again. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, you know, before we get into all that, because that's going to take some time, I want to kind of just point, let everybody know, Allison Lundgren Grimes finally filed her first fundraising report. And basically, it's a who of Hollywood, guys. Once again, you've got a Democrat going to the Hollywood elite, Martha's Vineyard, L.A., Hollywood, to get their money. I mean, even Nicolas Cage, of all people, who just filed bankruptcy because he's broke, found enough money to give to Allison Lundgren Grimes. I would think, you know, if you're broke and filed bankruptcy, you probably don't have enough money for that. But maybe that's just me. I don't know. So we shall see. In the meantime, just some of the people, we know that she took in $2.5 million. But here's your ultra libtards in Hollywood. Steven Spielberg, Woody Allen, Jerry Seinfeld, Leo DiCaprio, Barbara Streisand, Chris Rock, Ben Affleck, Ron Howard, Cameron Diaz. I mean, is there any names there that stand out that we just didn't know this was going to be the case still?
I mean, it's Hollywood, but again, it's kind of like they say about Washington, D.C. It's Hollywood for ugly people, and that kind of would explain one of her opponents, Mitch McConnell. So I think it's interesting you bring up their race. I Did you hear about the little phone call I received yesterday, Ed?
Actually, yeah, because I was actually leading to that.
Okay.
Because, you know, as part of this article with Allison London and Grimes, we're also talking about, you know, McConnell took in $2.3 million. He has almost $10 million on hand. So you would think he could outspend his primary challenger. But from what I saw, why don't you tell the story? Because apparently the JCRP is violating rules again.
Yeah, I know it's not really news. If news has to be something that's not common, and this is a common thing, but apparently other people, excuse me, other people and myself included were getting these phone calls yesterday, and I guess I don't need to give out the whole phone number, although it would be fun if people called this number back, I guess, and see who answered it. But I received a phone call yesterday evening, really not much different from this time, about 24 hours ago, and there's a little phone number, and I answer the phone. I hear this squeaky little voice girl butcher my name, and I say, yeah, this is he. What can I do for you? And I couldn't really understand her name. It was fairly unintelligible, but she said, I'm calling with the Jefferson County Republican Party to get help with Senator Mitch McConnell's campaign, which I thought was interesting, considering that is against the rules of the county party, but she called me of all people, Ed.
Well, I'll say that's my first alarm bell is how in the world are you still on a call list after everything that's went between you and the county party, number one.
You still get Democrat party list, don't you?
Man, the Democrats send me constant emails all the time. I haven't been a Democrat and got a lost count. I guess probably since 2007, 2008, I haven't been registered as a Democrat. I even sent them a couple of emails telling them to remove it from their list.
Right.
I tried to be nice. I don't want to be removed, obviously, because I'm a news guy, so I can see what they're doing. But, you know, it's really interesting, though, that they never did remove me. And
right.
it's just fascinating to me how in the world they are just doing all of this stuff. So,
well, I thought maybe I should have brought it to this girl's attention. I'm sure she's some young 18, 19-year-old intern working for somebody. And I thought it was funny for her to, number one, admit she was calling from the Republican Party of Jefferson County, not Kentucky. Now, I've had some people tell me, we know they change their rules as it's convenient for them, whether it's the RPK or the county party, but I've had some people tell me that the state party rules right now allow them to work for and endorse them, you know, primary candidates, which I think is bizarre and weird and a big conflict of interest, but that's neither here nor there. So she calls and admits that she was with the Jefferson County Republican Party, and she was calling to get help with Senator Mitch McConnell's campaign. So I basically just interrupted her and said, you really don't know who you're calling, do you? And I ended the call. So maybe I should explain to her that she was blatantly violating her party's rules. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I don't think you needed to do that. I think what we need to do, though, ultimately, and I'll take care of this myself. I didn't chance today. I'm going to call Nathan Haney and get his response on that. He's a guy that just took over as the JCRP chair when Shelley May resigned because she's working as LA now. So I'd be kind of curious.
I'm not the only person
that
got the calls. I mean, at first I thought maybe it was some kind of practical joke because, like you said, they did call me. That'd
right.
be like them calling Ed Martin, right? So I'm the only one that got the calls, and I had someone else tell me that you know, a friend of a friend said they had just messaged Chairman Haney that he would put a stop to this.
Well, I'll find out too. Cause I'll follow up with you myself. We need to do
well, there
sure
you
that's
go.
Right.
It never ends that you think Mitch McConnell is sitting all that money, but maybe he's a little concerned because his opponent's been endorsed by the Conservative Fund, by the Madison Project. His opponent's been endorsed by the, I think the Club for Growth is probably going to announce. And I don't see Mitch getting a lot of endorsements from local groups. So isn't it funny? He's doing the same thing that Allison Lundgren Grimes is doing.
Well, it is, but it's really interesting too, though. And I've got to be honest here when it comes to JCRP. As everybody knows, I met with Nathan Haney here a few weeks ago, right after he took over his chair. We met for a couple of hours and went over different things. He wanted to ensure me, you know, that the party is going to be changing, blah, blah, blah. You know, and quite honestly, I believe that he has the right intent and he does want to make this what it's supposed to be. But, you know, ultimately, as I explained to him then, you know, I love ideology, but I live in reality. And the reality is you've got the old money guard and you've got McConnell's right-hand man and John McCarthy – just as part of the board here. You know, these guys are only going to care about McConnell. He's going to have to overcome that. I think he realizes that. But the question is, truly, do you think he's had enough time to make any changes? Or do you think that there is such a division, people like Nathan and the younger Republicans like yourself, you know, versus all these old dogs? The old dogs are saying, basically, we're going to do what the hell we want regardless of what the party says. What do you think about that?
I think the thing about it is there wasn't a big contention to take over that spot. And then maybe I'm giving breaking news and people who don't know the way the inside baseball, the county party works, but not a lot of people wanted to be chairman. And what I've heard through the grapevine, it was that after the election, after Dear Leader Obama beat Big Love Mitt Romney, that a lot of people just kind of dropped off and there's very few people even showing up for their meetings. And so I heard it was almost like first come, first serve, taking over that chairmanship. So just so people don't think there were a lot of people clamoring in an election for that position, because
that's not really a bad thing, though, is it? Because at the end of the day, what you just got was a chairman who happens to be one of the young Republicans. And young Republicans, as you know firsthand, have always been shut out of the main party. So even you got it because there was very little competition. You now have one of the young Republicans in charge of the local JCRP, so you can lay the foundation to change it, can you not?
No, you have a Liberty person in charge of the young, in charge of the YR. Is that what you mean? Andrew is a Liberty guy who runs the Young Republicans. I don't know about Nathan. What is that? What you mean? The YRs?
Well, yeah, I mean Nathan is 30 years old, so he is part of the Young Republicans.
Technically, Young Republicans covers everything up to 40 years old. But I'm just thinking about the fact that we talked about on this show some time back when Andrew became chairman of the Jefferson County YRs, which is the youth wing of the party, and it was probably the first time a liberty-oriented person has chaired that group since I chaired it over a decade ago. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what to make of it. I know it must scare the county party a little bit that I still have phone calls and lunch on occasion with people who are on their committee. So I know that scares them.
Well, it probably does. Let's go straight to the phones. I believe this is Mayo. How are you, sir?
That it is. I'm doing good. How about yourselves?
Can't complain, man. I could, but nobody listens, so we got to move on with news. You know how it goes. What's up with you?
Yeah. Just with what you all was talking about, actually somebody in the lame stream did a little report on the leadership PACs, and they call around to make contributions. Well, I can't remember, 88 or something, they passed a law saying no political contributions could be used for personal deeds or deals. Well, then they kind of threw a loophole in there, and they call it a leadership PAC, and they actually reported how one senator had used over $100,000 of his leadership PAC to go golfing and everything. Another one was like $37,000 for football tickets. One was $24,000 to go to like Edinburgh, Scotland, where he supposedly to meet with somebody, and you know, but his daughter also got married at the exact same time. Some of these contributions they're asking for aren't political. It basically goes into their own personal slush fund. Who was it that had the affair, cheated on his wife or whatever? John Edwards? He used his to pay mistress $124,000 for supposedly the videography of his campaign.
Well, let's be clear here. Well, yeah, but let's be clear.
Let's go ahead and talk to Ricky Farmer.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this is not just a national thing. You know, we've also got Jerry Abramson, right here locally. Jerry Abramson was getting side money from all these different places. They appoint him as, you know, a chief of a water board or all these different committees that he gets paid for. And we've got proof of that. We've got documentation for that. You know, go to ourmayorjerry.com. Check out the documentation on it. You know, so, I mean, we've got this is a known thing that goes on every day. But nobody does anything about it, though. Why not? How do you get it stopped, Mayo? We've got some problems with some background noise. Mayo, I'm going to put you back in the queue and bring you back in a minute.
All right.
I think that was
there.
Mayo. Yeah, I believe that was Mayo background noise. So we've got to keep looking at what's really going on here. You know, these slush funds are nothing new. It's common at every level of politics, including right here. You know, I mean, there are rumors of some council members getting side money from a prominent council member just to keep them in line in between paychecks, you know. So, I mean, this isn't anything new, but we don't ever get it under control. You know what I mean, Dale? So I'm not sure what to do with that. You know, I want to move on just a little bit, though, because I found a great thing today that just blows my mind. If you need any further proof whatsoever, not that you do, folks, but if you need any further proof whatsoever that mainstream media has an agenda, let's look at Reverend Al Sharpton. Everybody's thinking, yeah, well, we know that. Here's the deal. Representative Alan Grayson, a Democrat out of Florida, this guy is a nut job, but he decided he was going to send out an email blast, you know, going off on Republicans and everything else in his email blast, trying to say that the Tea Party was a racist organization in line with the Ku Klux Klan. Now, that's the desperation you got. Alan Grayson is a white representative, went on to Al Sharpton's show on CNN, and as part of that email blast, Dale, here's the kicker. That email blast has an image of two fully robed KKK members watching a cross burning in the middle of a yard, you know, like they're known to do, and the word Tea Party spelled out with the cross on fire representing the tea. Al Sharpton, problem with that. They never called the guy out or anything else, brought him on as a guest and helped him chastise the Tea Party. Where was the outrage by Al Sharpton? You know, it's a racist thing if a white guy looks at a black guy wrong. But here you've got probably one of the most negative representations in the whole world of pure racism with a cross burning. But because a Democrat, liberal, white politician put that picture out there, Al Sharpton wasn't offended. Can there be any more hypocrisy?
Well, you know, maybe we should ask Tawana Bradley.
Thank you. Tawana Bradley, for people who don't know who that is, she made up a lie that Al Sharpton jumped on board of. Proved to be a liar. Sharpton never apologized, but he sure got a lot of publicity and money out of it, didn't he?
No, and he doesn't care about when there's all these cases of black and white violence. We've talked about them all on my show. You've talked about them some on your show. And there's never an outrage. You don't see white people rioting. You don't see us threatening things in the street. You don't see us threatening to burn things down. But yet there's black and white crime all the time. And you can just go to a Drudge Report every day and get your daily dose of black and white crime. I know a lot of people listen to the shows don't want us to talk about that, but it's a dirty little secret that's not really a secret that there's all this black and white crime. And we know that Reverend Al doesn't care about that. We saw that supposedly he was going to address the violence in some story in Chicago where you had a situation where a black guy had apparently raped a little black girl. So why is it he'll get involved in that, but he doesn't get involved when the blacks are doing stuff to whites?
Well, see, exactly, you know, but I mean, I will even allow the fact that since Al Sharpton is a racist, Jesse Jackson is a racist, and they make their claim to fame based on being racist, I'll even allow the fact they don't want to touch black-on-white crime. But how insulting, if you're going to be a hypocrite, how insulting can you be to scream racism and then bring on a white politician and prop him up, showing a daggone cross-burning picture of an email that he sent out to everybody and say that that's okay because he's attacking Tea Party people. It's a cross burn with the Klan.
I mean, what is he doing it to raise money or something, fundraising?
Yeah, he was doing it as a fundraising email.
I mean,
That'll
work because everybody sees the word Tea Party. And again, people make the word Tea Party to mean the same thing that Republican used to mean. Well, the problem, they can't use the word Republican again, because it's pretty blatant when you have Republicans like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Mitch McConnell and those guys who don't really care about the Constitution. So it just doesn't stick as much to say Republicans now. So now Tea Party is their code word for racist.
Right. No, and of course, the Tea Party is still getting blamed. You've got 435 members of the House, 100 senators, 535 members of Congress, not counting president. The government shuts down and less than 10 people are blamed for it. Most of those are in their very first term as elected representatives. The math won't add up if people don't get that. But when I see this blatant racism by this representative, and this is blatant racism. There's no ifs or buts about it. You know, I have a major problem, especially when the interviewer is fawning all over himself. He's a black guy who's made his reputation as being a racist leader. You know, so I just have a major problem with it, and I can't believe that nobody else is. It's just fascinating to me. Now, in their defense, and I've got to put this out there, in their defense, at least ABC News covered it. You know, they put it out there. They can go crazy on it, but at least they reported it. So we gripe so much about mainstream, at least they reported it. Maybe they're just falling out of favor with the president. I don't know. But I find it very, very interesting that no one challenged it. No one at all. It just boggles the mind. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we get back, we'll get into that, a whole lot of other issues. So sit tight, stay tuned. You're listening to the Ed Sprague Show right here on the MVM Radio Network.
So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You love it. Barack Obama playing in the White House. He's got a nickel. He's going to take it from you if you don't have it. Welcome to Obama land, Obama nation. This playground in my mind has got to stay with this show, Dale. I just love it too much. It's just describing it perfectly. I don't know if these guys are wasted or what, but they don't know what they're doing. You know, we've got some news going on with Obamacare. There is rumor. I will not confirm this, but the question has been asked about whether or not the Obamacare website is going to be completely thrown out and redone from scratch. I have a tendency to believe that, and one of the people that are working now to help the president try to fix this mess, you're going to love this one, Dale, Verizon Network. As everybody knows, Verizon has been out there working with the NSA, has no problem giving them our private information and everything else. And now all of a sudden, lo and behold, they're involved in trying to get this thing fixed, which means they're not doing it for free. Guess what? Do we not now know that there was a payback involved?
Well, the phone call, I mean, you're talking about paybacks. The phone call that dear leader Obama should have made, he's got a problem with the website, right?
Yep.
Why didn't he call Albert Ass Gore? You know, he has his website. I mean, you know, I mean, he's another heavy hitter in the Democratic Party. Why hasn't Albert Gore been involved in helping him with the website?
Well, you know, he invented the internet. You would surely think he could.
I think he had a website, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, Clinton Gore, Hillary Clinton was the mother of healthcare reform. And Al Gore invented the internet, and here Obama just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. I mean, I don't even like talking about Obamacare anymore because it's such a disaster. I was surprised when I saw my stuff come from my company about new enrollment, and I was scared. But then I found out, and again, I don't want to kind of defeat the people who are against Obamacare, but I found out that my company's insurance isn't going up a penny next year.
You're extremely lucky because everybody I know...
I was surprised. So, I mean, I can lie about it, but...
Person.
I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are making a big, big name for themselves against Obamacare and good people that we like David Adams was on your show, and God bless David Adams for taking on this issue, but...
Right.
If I were him, I'd probably be sick of talking about Obamacare right now, but he's one of the few people who's shedding the light on it in Kentucky with that whole KY Connect or whatever that crap is.
Well, he's not alone. Everybody's sick of it. I'll be honest with you. I get tired talking about Obamacare, but, you know, the reality is that's one of the most major issues facing America today. It's affecting everyone all the way down right here to the local level. You are the first and only person that I have spoke to that, I mean, literally spoken to, not just exchange email crap, probably out of a few hundred, that have told me that their rates are not going up.
Well, I'm surprised.
Everyone that I have talked to.
I probably found out it was a typo now, and I'll send out another book, a new book or something.
I
probably
spoke
to you soon, but I was surprised. I was scared to open it up. It came in the mailbox. I watched a slow, ridiculously lazy government mailman, mailwoman, mail dyke, whatever she is, walk off. And I went and got it out of the mailbox. I thought, oh, gosh, here we go. I didn't open it for 2 days. I didn't want to look
man.
At it. And
you know, it's fascinating. Well, what makes it fascinating is because I know one guy, his premiums are going up over 150%, and the lowest out of some of the people that I talked to seems to be right around 40% increase. And for anybody who is, you know, trying to go through Obamacare, they're done. They have no desire to even attempt it anymore. So, you know, that's why it's such an important deal. We start looking at all the things going on with this.
Yeah, it's very important. I'm just sick of hearing about it because it's, I mean, trust me, if you go to the Drudge Report, I mean, it's the top 10 or 11 stories of Drudge Report about feds instructing Blue Cross and Blue Shield not to repeat or reveal the sign-up numbers, government invoking privacy to keep employees from snooping. I mean, it's out of control.
Well, it really is. And the problem is it's not going to get any better. You know, that's the reality, and that's what we've got to deal with. So, you know, we've got all these things going on. I mean, we even have now, people really haven't paid attention. You know, we tried to put this out just a few months ago, actually, talking about the health care law and the increased cost to taxpayers and all of that good stuff, the fines, et cetera. But, you know, a lot of people haven't even looked at the fact that, you know, hospitals are going to be punished if they try to give out free care. You know, this is a major concern. Under Section 501 of the Internal Revenue Code, which takes effect under Obamacare, because they have these new standards of review, et cetera, with financial penalties and all that good stuff, charitable hospitals, tax-exempt charitable hospitals, who put a lot of their expense into treating uninsured poor people, will now be facing fines of up to $50,000 if they do that. So how do you justify that? Here you are actually trying to help people, and now you're going to face fines. How can you justify it, Dale?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to you there. I can't justify it again. And there's no justifying Obamacare. I mean, I try not to even talk about Obama because this health care thing, this is why it's such a big deal. It finally impacts people. The fact is, a lot of what the president does never impacts us, and he wants to control our lives, and I refuse to let him. But so many people bought into the crap, and now they need health care insurance. They think he's going to save them. Well, we don't hear from the people who were the big Obama worshippers during the primaries and the elections and the first term anymore because they already saw that he sold them out.
Right. And, you know, that's what's so amazing here. I just don't get it, man. I really don't. I look at all of this stuff and, you know, I don't see it. So now hospitals have got to provide details on why They give away a discount or free treatment to patients, and they have to provide detail on the criteria they use, and then they're going to be penalized up to $15,000 for doing it. So, it's just totally amazing to me. It really is, and I still have no idea how the hell they get away with it. Of course, the healthcare.gov website we've already talked about, but here's what's really going on. The healthcare.gov website has got all of these problems, and nobody wants to talk about why. There have been mentions, of course, of a place, the CGI Federal, which is the Canadian company that was hired by the Obama administration to put this thing together. They've had well over 3.5 years to do it and still haven't done it. It was a no-bid contract that was supposed to last less than a year. It's supposed to cost less than $100,000 or $100 million. And it ended up costing over $600 million to date. And everybody's trying to make the connection. Well, here you go. The Daily Caller put the connection out there for you. CGI was awarded a no-bid contract to build this thing and put all of this time into it. The week before it went operational, the system kept crashing. It kept crashing with just a couple of hundred people trying to use it. According to Kathleen Sebelius, Barack Obama wasn't even aware of the problems. Do you believe that?
Of course not.
Neither does anybody else. Miraculously, what nobody paid attention to, during the 7 months building up to a big donation by George Schindler, who was the president of CGI Group, he was spending a whole lot of time at the White House in a forum on insourcing American jobs, supposedly. I don't see anybody looking to insource jobs here. However, in those months, then all of a sudden they started giving out all kinds of money and political donations and things like that to Barack Obama and other Democrats. When we look at this, it's something I touched on last night, Dale. We took a $100 million contract, made it a $600 million contract. That's $500 million. And at the same time you get awards like this and you get money like this, donations to these Democrat politicians, including Barack Obama, go through the roof. Are they not funding their damn campaigns with our tax dollars?
Well, of course they are. And again, since you mentioned tax dollars and campaigns, I want to kind of switch this back. I think we need to talk more about Addison Mitchell McConnell. I mean, maybe, Ed, when I'm not on the show, you don't talk about Mitch McConnell enough. But
no, I don't.
Let's look at this Mitch McConnell race. And I'll tell you in a moment, I just got a piece of breaking news, honestly breaking news sent to me. But when I look at fundraising, we talked at the beginning of the show about where they're getting their money from, and we talked about the big money that Alison Linger Grimes is getting from Hollywood. But is that any worse than what I'm seeing with Mitch McConnell? I just looked at his top five contributors over the last several years, his latest, whatever this is now, his fifth or sixth term. Ed, do you want to guess who his top contributors are to Mitch McConnell's campaigns?
Go ahead.
Speechless. The Citigroup,
okay.
Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan Chase. Those are McConnell's top three contributors. Citibank, Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan Chase. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that he's bought. He's a corporate shill, which we pretty much know. So here's what you've got. You've got Republicans sitting there being the corporate shills, and you've got the Democrats being the Hollywood shills. My question is, where is the American people shill at?
Well, the American people are going to be the ones to get involved in these primaries, and I know that the Democrat Party, to give equal blame here, the Democrat Party wants to talk nothing about the gentleman who's running in the primary over in that race. They really abandoned him. What was his name, Marksberry?
Ed Marksberry, yep.
So they totally abandoned him. I'm holding out hope that maybe the American people, or at least the Kentuckians in the Republican Party, will turn on Mitch McConnell. And that leads me to my breaking news. And this is news, folks, that just broke in the last half an hour. The big, badass, no-compromise version of the NRA. You know who they are, the Gun Owners of America?
Go ahead.
Gun Owners of America. You're familiar with them, right, Ed?
Yes.
GOA. They're the real gun rights group that have balls, and they don't sell out like the NRA. Tonight, the vice chairman, Tim Massey of Gun Owners of America, has announced that they have endorsed Matt Bevin over Mitch McConnell.
That's not a big surprise.
Not a big surprise, really, but truly, news, because look who endorses Matt Bevin, conservative groups, like the Madison Project, like the conservative, the Senate conservative group, and now Gun Owners of America. And look who's endorsing and who's giving money to McConnell, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Goldman Sachs.
Well, we understand that. I get that. But, you know, I mean, this isn't the first time. I mean, let's get real here, okay? Mitch McConnell is not probably going to get those kind of endorsements if there's anybody that's conservative running against him. I mean, Mitch McConnell isn't well-liked.
But that's the problem. No one would ever run against him in the past.
Well, I mean, my problem is this. I guess what I'm saying is this, though. Mitch McConnell isn't well-liked by anybody. Mitch McConnell wins races because he takes those races all the way down in the gutter. He forced a low voter turnout because people get disgusted and don't care. And then he's got just enough of the base who think, first and foremost, we're the minority leader, we're the majority leader, depending on where he's been in his career. You know, we don't want to lose that power. And that's just enough to offset the difference. Mitch doesn't run a race to win easily. Mitch runs a race like you're in a daggone dogfight, man. And that's the reality. So that doesn't really bother me.
Mitch also thinks that he's pro-gun. And that's why I had to bring this up, because that's always been one of the Star Wars of the neocons, is being pro-gun, when he's really not pro-gun, because Obamacare, because we're talking about Obamacare and talking about Mitch McConnell, Obamacare is a disaster for gun owners because of the ability of the federal government now to use medical data to disarm them, just like it has already done to more than 150,000 disabled military veterans. And some Republicans know this, and they've been fighting to kill Obamacare, but McConnell and McCain and those guys sabotaged the effort to defund or delay Obamacare, as we've talked about here.
Well, we know the deal's made, and we know, you know, as much as nobody wants to admit it, you know, we got $2.9 billion in kickbacks for the dam project. You know, Mitch McConnell went along with the program. Now, they're saying he didn't know anything about it. Don't get me wrong. I want to make sure people understand this. We need the $2.9 billion for that dam project. I totally support that project, and Mitch has been trying to get that funded for a long time, and it keeps getting thwarted. So I've got no problem with that money coming to Kentucky for that. I do, however, definitely see why people are looking at that as a kickback, because we restarted the government. That was part of the provision. Now, they're trying to cover me to say he didn't know, but that's not realistic, is it?
Well, it makes Kentucky look bad because, again, with these big Port Barrow projects, hell, go down to Somerset. Hal Rogers is the freaking king of Port Barrow projects in the House. But it makes Kentucky look bad. The reason I say that is because people say, well, look, Mitch is getting all that money back. Mitch is bringing all that money back to the state, so that's why people are voting for him. Ron Paul, when he was running for U.S. House, several years in a row running and getting reelected, even when his own state and county parties were trying to sabotage him, Ron Paul did not, quote, bring home the bacon. Ron Paul voted against bringing money home to his home district in Texas, and he still kept winning. So that you don't have to bring home the bacon to get the votes, but it makes Kentucky look bad because, like you said, Mitch just does enough. He uses the big, big war chest to do all the mudslinging, just gets enough of the base to barely win these general elections, and nobody has had the balls to run a big money primary campaign against him at all until now.
Well, we also, well, maybe and I'll be honest with you, I'm not trying to discount anything you're saying because I agree with most of it. But, you know, to be honest, though, Texas politics is different than Kentucky politics when it comes to constituents and voters and things, because Texas is a very, very conservative state. The guy engaged as an abortion crowd loves Texas, okay, the GGGA. So when we look at that, when we look at that in play, you know, I don't see it as being that much of a big deal if Ron Paul was able to continue getting reelected without the pork. In Kentucky, we do receive a lot of federal money. We are what's considered one of those pauper states because we have to have federal money. So people become accustomed to that pork over time. Isn't that part of the problem?
Well, that's part of the problem, but I don't even think it's about the God, guns, and gays things in Texas, because just to take the gay thing into consideration, Ron Paul never was willing to go out there and be 100% anti-gay like a lot of the neocons were. And I wish we were more like Texas. I wish we'd be more independent and stand on our own. We know that they don't look for help from the state, the federal government. If they do it with their state government. And part of that's the difference between a state that it's been run by who's run Texas, and a state that's been run by the Democratic Party since the Civil War.
Right. Well, you know, that's part of it.
I mean, Kentucky, again, look at Kentucky. How long has the state house been Democrat? Since the Civil War.
Oh, yeah. That's
the war
saying,
between the states and the war of northern aggression, if we call it appropriately. How long was the state Senate Democrat? It stayed Democrat from the Civil War until Dan Stein finally changed parties and turned it Republican.
Right. Well, yeah, you're right about that. And, you know, but we also have to look at some serious things here as well. I mean, if we're going to go down a Ron Paul path, then let's also look at Rand Paul. Talk to me about Rand Paul. What's he doing right? What's he doing wrong right now?
Well, the conversation I had today with somebody about Rand Paul is the same conversation it's always been, which is he's not Ron Paul. But that, what that means is he's younger. He's not quite as sold out, solid, stalwart on the Constitution. But he's been right there in the front of trying to get the hemp issue through. We've seen what the Democrats in our state have done as far as putting up a roadblock on hemp because they're in bed with the state police. And we know the state police don't want us to have hemp in this state. And Rand Paul stood right there with Ted Cruz. And Rand Paul is the one that stood there and was in on his own little, quote-unquote, filibuster, if you will, to use that term wrongly, in that he was standing up against us with these drone attacks and how the drones were going after American citizens. So, again, Rand is one of those who's very rare, and it goes back to what I told somebody else today about Rand. Rand's become very popular. I can remember being at the machine gun shoot with Rand 5 or 6 years ago, and nobody knew who he was. And like you said yourself, I appreciate you giving credit where due that I first told you guys that that he was going to be on the scene. But I think he's doing more than anybody else. It doesn't mean he's perfect, and that's that whole trade-off, because he's still an elected politician. And I still stick to what I said, which is in the U.S. Senate, where there's 100 of them, there's about four, five on a good day that I trust out of 100.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm with that, and I'm with that. You know, I kind of like what Rand Paul is doing right now. And Rand Paul, you know, he, truthfully, if we're going to talk about libertarians and Tea Party and everything else, you know, Ted Cruz got some of the credit and some of the blowback, a lot of the blowback over the shutdown and stuff. But, you know, but Marco Rubio, he's disappeared. We all knew that he was a one-trick pony. Paul Ryan, they were trying to build him up. He's disappeared.
Rubio,
he's a one-trick
Rubio
pony.
Rubio already sold out. Rubio's already endorsed Mitch McConnell.
Oh, I know. Well, we know that, but Rubio sold out before that thing ever happened.
Oh, yeah, he didn't, though. I never liked Rubio.
Well, no, I didn't either. I've never liked Rubio or Ryan. I always knew they were fake as anything, you know. But when you get it, but when you get into the real Tea Party, the real libertarians, and start paying attention, you know, Rand Paul is the top dog, is he not?
He is. You want to get that call in? Or?
No, it's okay, man.
Okay, I can entertain the audience if you want to get that call. Rand, Rand Paul is, and like I said, there's only a couple others. There's Ted Cruz. There's Mike Lee of Utah. There's a couple of this audience may not know. There's Jeff Flake in Arizona and James Risch in Idaho. And those are the only five in the U.S. Senate that I really trust. And if you go to the House, there's 435 over there. And on a good day, there might be 10 or 11 I like over there out of 435.
Right. Right. You know, and that's the whole thing. So how do these people continue getting blamed for shutting down a government? You know what I mean? And I've got to give...
You can't blame the Republican Party anymore because they know they can look at the Mitch McConnells and see that he's going to bend over and do whatever Harry Reid says. Like I said, Mitch McConnell may be the most expensive whore we've ever seen. I mean, look how much money Harry Reid had to pay Mitch McConnell. And he's in Nevada where prostitution is legal, and he's still paying Mitch that much money to be his whore.
Well, I'm not going to say much about Harry because there's nothing good to say, you know. But I mean, realistically though, if we're looking at new leadership right now, okay, if Mitch does get defeated, and I still think he's going to win, but if he does get defeated, then let's look at the reality here. You know, who's going to replace him as a minority leader or a majority leader, depending on how the Senate goes? Is Rand Paul ready for that?
Who replaces him? I mean, it's not really a big gamble to say that you expect him to win, Ed, because, again, if he doesn't win, if Mitch McConnell somehow loses in the primary, it would be unarguably, maybe arguably to some, but arguably it would be the biggest upset in probably the history of the U.S. Senate elections.
Right.
So I think it would win. So I don't know who would be leading the U.S. Senate into that because – I mean, right now I don't care. I like to see more people get elected. I like to see more of the guys, and we'll talk about them in the next year. Hard to believe we got another year before that election. My God. But you know, we'll talk more about those guys over the next year if the black helicopters don't take out Blog Talk.
Well, we've got about 6 months before the primary, a little over 6 months before the primary between Matt Bevin and Mitch McConnell. So what's got to happen here, or what's going to happen here, I should say, because you know we're starting to step with the Obamacare backlash, the government shutdown backlash. Is Mitch McConnell really in trouble in the primary based on that, or are people still leaning to let's not give up the minority leader position?
Well, I think right now people who vote in general elections don't have a clue who either of his opponents are, either in the primary or the general election, but that's now, and like you said, the election's a year away. Primary voters, especially in the Republican Party, and you're in Kentucky, again, we just talked about how Kentucky is predominantly Democrat. If you're a primary Republican voter in Kentucky, you probably are a little bit more informed than the average bear. So, again, it's going to be important that people look at McConnell's votes on things like closure votes for the Obamacare, and then also we look at the way he's voted on other big boondoggle plans about that $2 billion kickback, and he says that we won't be able to seriously curtail Obamacare law until 2017. Of course he would say that because he'd be halfway through another term by then.
Well, I don't think we're going to have to worry about it. I think Mitch at this point, I think that Matt is still having a problem. There's a lot of the base that Matt is reaching out to. And you've got a lot of people, Ken Molman, you know, and quite a few people that are out there.
He can't vote in that election.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm kind of going with this, because you've got quite a few people out there who are touting Matt Bevin and pushing Matt Bevin, but the problem is, they're not registered Republicans. They're independents or libertarians. They can't vote in the primaries. So how is that going to help or fix anything? You know what I mean? It's really, really strange. I don't understand.
Well, like I said, there are several reasons. Like I said, you can look at Obamacare. You can look at all the other big votes that Mitch McConnell got wrong. I mean, he voted against the best opportunity to defend the Obamacare law. And I was focusing on the anti-gun because that's what the Gun Owners of America focused in this press release they put out. And again, he failed to provide the necessary leadership to stop funding. So the argument that the neocons give me about we got to vote for him because he's the minority leader, what has he led on, Ed? What did he get out of his meeting where he was down on his knees and putting the knee pads on for Harry Reid? What did he get out of that meeting? What did he get out of that quote-unquote negotiation?
Good question. I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, we've got Rand Paul out there doing a tour of Kentucky. He's all over the place the last couple of days talking to everybody about everything. I mean, the Affordable Care Act, the so-called glitches in the website. And he's saying the right things. He's kind of letting people know what's really going on. But it's interesting because Rand Paul is actually taking the lead in outing Verizon as being, you know, people who have been called in to help repair this website. So I'm kind of bringing it back to Obamacare, but I'm not. The reason I'm doing that is we're looking for somebody to take leadership, as it boils down to. We don't have any leadership is what I hear most people say. That's what I'm hearing in your mouth. Maybe I'm putting words in it. But we continue talking about that. Here we've got Rand Paul out there talking about the $100 million that have been spent already. That's going to continue being spent to try to get people to sign up to something that doesn't work. We're hearing about problems with the phones because you can't compare plans over the phone. All you can do is sign up. And Rand Paul is taking on Verizon directly by making the statement that Verizon is involved because they already have an arrangement and work for the government, which is true because of the NSA. Rand Paul says his sister already worked for the NSA, that this was an easy arrangement to set up. So he's backing everything we've been talking about. Is that not leadership? I mean, is that somebody going out there who's scared of fallout, who's standing up and letting the people know what's really going on?
Well, again, there's no leadership there. This is why, how long did we go without a budget? How long did the Democrats run the U.S. Senate and not put up a budget? And how many times did you ever hear anybody from the Republican Party standing up against it? All you heard McConnell say was his election, his reelection, and his whole goal was about defeating Obama so Obama wouldn't have a second term. Well, he failed miserably. I think that's ridiculous for a U.S. senator from one state to say his top goal is to defeat the president. As much as I cannot stand the president, that's not what a U.S. senator from your state is supposed to do. So, you know,
I mean, that's
surviving by bringing home the pork He's $3 billion horror project, and he's surviving by doing that kind of stuff and telling people you got to have him in leadership. And like you just said, then he takes his war chest and he just slings mud at everybody else.
Well, you know, you got a point there, but at the same time, though, you know, Mitch McConnell just, you know, sit out there on a solo basis and make that statement, sort of like, you know, the representative did out of Florida, trying to compare the Ku Klux Klan to the Tea Party. But he did because he is the Senate minority leader, and he is top Republican in the Senate. You know, the whole Republican Party has been chastised and labeled with that, you know, including the Tea Party and everybody else. So he didn't put himself out there on the line. Everybody else has paid the price for that. That's the first thing you hear from anybody when you talk about a Rand Paul or anybody else. What is the first priority? No, Mitch McConnell stated that as the opinion of what his first priority was. But it wasn't the entire party. So it's really interesting when you get in there. And I've got to bring this full circle to some degree, Dale, because one of your favorite people in the whole world, your BFF, if you will, Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan.
It's really interesting because... Let's not go there.
You gave that up. Sorry, I forgot.
No, but what's really interesting here is we always get our Piers Morgan for being a basic socialist, which he is, in my opinion, anything else. But now that he's got a book he's trying to sell, things have gotten a little bit different the way he's talking to stuff. Quite frankly, you know, he's writing and telling the whole world that the U.S. press has been too easy on the Obama administration. Now, here's a guy who sat out there and came off as one of the most radical left-wing nut jobs there are, making the boo-hoo gates about gun control and stuff, and now he's saying that the press has been too easy on Obama. You think CNN's worried about ratings?
Well, you got a network already has very low ratings, and they're taking his show away from them. So when you lose your show on CNN, it's already reached the bottom of the barrel in ratings. What does it tell you about your credibility?
Oh, I agree. And I actually really, really, some of the stuff he has to say is mind-boggling to me based on what he's been doing on TV, on his show. He says the financial crisis was inherited by the president. Nobody argues. I don't even argue that. But he also points out that President Obama has been there long enough to work it out. Unemployment is still over 7%, and that's unacceptable. So here's a dig at the president for not doing his job after being there 5 years. Then he goes on to talk about Benghazi and things like that. It's like Benghazi have been exposed or have exposed some of the limitations of Obama's leading from behind foreign policy and his lack of attention to detail in protecting American ambassadors and servicemen around the world. Then he has to chastise Obama because he says that we must have more clarity from the president about what he really stands for and what he really wants to achieve. So here we go. We've got all this stuff. You know, Piers Morgan, one guy that we know is an ultra-left-wing socialist nut job. Now, all of a sudden, the media was too soft on Obama, and here's the things that should have been done. Like he is somebody that we can look up to that has any credibility, especially after his time in the U.K. Respond.
Well, he's going to go back to the U.K., and they don't really want him there either. The people I know have begged us not to send them back. I mean, they're offering everything they can. They're like, please, you know, send back all the boring soccer games. We apologize for that. You know, we apologize for cricket and bad food and all that crap and bad teeth. But please don't send Piers back.
Yep. Piers Morgan was run out of Britain. I think it was with the Daily Globe or something like that. It's a tabloid newspaper over there. For falsifying stories. For manipulating stories, illegal wiretaps, all these different things to show that he has no credibility at all, right?
No, he has no credibility at all. He started out over there, like you said, he was from England. He started out working for the Sun and their tabloids. And then from there, he went over to News of the World, appointed by all people by Rupert Murdoch. Remember the ones
right.
That want you to think that Rupert Murdoch's so conservative. Remember, he gave Piers Morgan one of his big breaks. Then he went to the Mirror, and he was widely criticized and had to apologize for headlines that he put in the Mirror. So, and that doesn't even take into consideration the Telegraph about how he had bought whatever it was, 20,000 pounds worth of stock in the company Vigilant, before they all of a sudden had it made out to be a good buy. So he's been full of bad news, and I'm going to send him back over there. Why would you use the name Pierce Morgan when your real name is Pierce Stefan O'Meara Pugh Morgan? Maybe that's why.
God only knows.
That's his official name. His real name is Stefan O'Meara Pugh Morgan.
Here's the interesting thing, and I didn't know that about the real name, but here's the interesting thing. This story I'm researching or referring to right now is from Newsmax.com. And pumping this guy up, I mean, they're talking about how Pugh Morgan is the top tabloid newspaper editor in Britain for years, whose reporters asked the tough questions and wrote the hard-hitting exposés. And so trying to build up his credibility and help him sell books. You know, and Morgan goes on to say that ever since he's been there at CNN, it's been one catastrophe or crisis after another. You know, in D.C., nothing ever gets resolved. And then he wants to gripe about the national debt, $17 trillion, a third of which is owned by Chinese. Now, isn't it the same information? Correct me if I'm wrong. But isn't this the same information that he was arguing with people about on air, like Alex Jones, who gave him all this information to try to do this, and he tried to shut Alex Jones up and tell him nobody was talking about? Am I wrong?
His ratings are so bad, he's now trying to pull up the Alex Jones stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he ran that on a loop for his last few shows. His ratings are so bad that now he puts pictures of him and Alex Jones on his Twitter page. I mean, he's a ratings whore. That's, you know, we talked about Mitch McConnell being a political whore, and we jumped from whore to whore. Pierce Morgan's a ratings whore. What's the big deal about getting your news from people like him? Here's another one for you. What about all these young kids? And I usually have hope in them because they're more liberty-minded. What about all these young kids who get their news from The Daily Show?
Oh, yeah, Jon Stewart.
what's that all about? The Daily Show is a humor/satire show.
Right.
And it's hosted by a guy, another guy. What's it with the guys that keep changing their names? Well, you be the guess why the guy goes by Jon Stewart, whose real name was Stuart Leibowitz. You figure that one out. I won't make any comments. I'll let Jew figure that one out as to why he changed his name from Stuart Leibowitz to Jon Stewart. And he's their guy they go to, these Generation YZ, negative ABC, whatever the hell they call them. He's a satire guy. He's a stand-up comedian. And, oh, by the way, his brother, remember I've talked about this on the air before, his brother is a gentleman by the name of Lawrence Leibowitz, just happens to be president of the New York Stock Exchange. No, he's not an insider.
Yeah, big surprise there, right? I tell you what, here's another big surprise. This hour has flown by, man. I can't believe it. It's time to get out of here, my friend. Final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. We talked a lot about whores, and we talked a lot about people who scrape the bottom of the barrel, but enough about Mitch McConnell and Pierce Morgan. It is time for you all to get out there and get behind candidates that you believe in. And, hey, if you don't believe in Matt Bevin, don't take my word for it. He's just gotten all the constitutional endorsements over Addison Mitchell McConnell. Find another candidate. The best thing about it, and Ed and I will talk about this on the airwaves for the next few months, you've got about 3 months from now to file for office. Every U.S. House seat is up. One-third of all the U.S. Senate seats are up. Every Kentucky State House seat is up. And one half of the state senate seats are up. Go be your own politician and say death to the New World Order.
Well, you put that, because that really is the nature of the beast. We live in a representative republic, period. We have a right to run for office. We have the right to vote. We choose our leadership, which tells us we're going to choose what direction we're going to go. It's interesting because he made that statement. We really have to look at this. When we start talking about all the problems we've got with the Obamacare thing, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, now you have this government shutdown, blah, blah, blah. Look at all of these different things that are going on and ask yourself, how did these people get there? And the answer is obvious. We put them there. We put them there. And that's where we have to make the changes. We've got to get involved in the process. We've got to get involved in making things better. And I say collectively, when a primary election, whether you choose Matt Bevin or Mitch McConnell is your personal choice in the primary here in Kentucky, but when you have primary elections that are 10, 12% of the eligible voters. 90% of the people just turned off. 10% of the people are making decisions for the majority. You wonder how they amassed that kind of power? We've allowed that to happen. When you get into general elections, you're not doing much better. 30%, 35%. You've got the majority of people not getting involved in the process to make lives better, and then they're going to sit around and complain because they're not any better. Folks, it's just not logical to go down that path and think this is something meaningful. You know, we've got to make the changes. The only way to make changes is to get involved. So that's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Deal with Truth will be here with his TNT Thursday Night Truth Show right here at 7 o'clock. And make sure you guys tune in for that. And our good friend Ken Molman over at Liberty Unbridled, he will be here Sunday night at 7 as well. In the meantime, y'all have a great night. Thanks so much for joining. We appreciate it. Take care.